Excuse me. You're in my way. Hey, spawn in front of somebody else's locker, please.
I'm assuming your locker's in there somewhere also?
Yep, right behind Belle Watling.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Gilmore Girls Movie Night Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Courtney.
And we are here to talk about Gone with the Wind.
The longest movie ever.
I have the belief that if a movie can't be told in less than 2 hours, it shouldn't be told at all.
Or it should be more than one. Listen, the last Harry Potter movie was the book split into two. The last Twilight movie, the book split into two. Mm-hmm. Why did this need to be almost 4 hours long?
Definitely. Movies definitely shouldn't be longer than 3 hours. 2.5 hours is really pushing it. Just shorter than 2 hours.
Like, Gone with the Wind during the war?
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind after the war. Two separate movies. It would have been great.
Be a better storyteller.
Yeah.
So you can do it in less than 2 hours. That just is bad storytelling. It goes longer than that.
It took us 3 nights of, like, long watches to get this finished.
Over an hour each night. And then the last night, I think, was an hour and a half.
I miss other TV. We watched nothing else.
For 3 straight days. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
So how's life?
It's life. Our kids started school.
They did. They started today.
We have a pre-K-er and a first grader.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah. They liked it.
How's the Vanderpump world?
Oh, man. Going? The last couple days have been a frenzy. Rachel, formerly known as Raquel, decided to do a podcast with Bethany Frankel, which I hate. Listen, Bethany Frankel's a great housewife. Not so sure she's a great human. But
like most of those housewives.
You know, go on. I think Heather Gay I could totally get along with. I think there are housewives I could chill with.
Sure.
Bethany's not one of them. I think that maybe she's diabolical. But she's been trying to form this union against Bravo for exploiting people and not paying them enough and whatever. And all of the people that have joined her are people that, like, were fired from Bravo. Raquel being one of them. She wasn't fired, but she's not going back. And she has been telling the press, I'm not going back to the show.
I thought she had signed up to do it. Did she change her mind?
I don't think she ever officially signed up. I think people were speculating. But she has come out and said, I'm focusing on my mental health. I'm not going back. And then she goes and does a podcast with a former housewife. A very well-known former housewife. And it's something. Bethany is unhinged, as can be seen in her seafood video on TikTok that you don't even need to know.
Okay.
I wish I didn't know about that video. She just steers the whole conversation. Like, oh, and so then that's how they were exploiting you, right? Everyone else is making money off this and you're not making, like, it was nuts. She said that Raquel, who now goes by Rachel, made less in a year from being on the show than Bethany's interns do. She made $350,000 for doing season 10. So, like, I don't know what Bethany's paying her interns. But that's a heck of a lot more than I've ever seen an intern be paid.
Yeah.
350. Could you imagine? That's like double. More than double. That's almost triple our salaries.
Definitely.
Nuts. It was bad. So there was a part one yesterday. And then a bunch of people came out with like their emergency podcasts, like the Bravo fans. And part two dropped today. Because Bethany is so unhinged that there is no schedule to when her podcast episodes are dropped. Like, I've gone back and looked at when she's dropped episodes in the past. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just whenever she feels like it. So are we going to get part three tomorrow? Who knows? Are we going to get it in a month? No idea. But we've heard part one and part two, and it was absolutely nothing new. I think staying out of the spotlight is a great idea for Rachel, and she has zero remorse. For anything. It's bad. It was bad. But I'm enjoying the uptick in Bravo news right now.
Awesome.
I missed it.
Well, I'm glad that you got a little bit of it.
It's been good. It's been good.
So that has been Vanderpump Corner. We yes. hope you have enjoyed it. Other than that, life is going well.
Yeah.
Football season's about to start, so that's exciting.
Weather's going to get cooler, so that's exciting. Cool
too. So let's talk about Gone with the Wind. Where was this mentioned in Gilmore Girls?
So many times. But in the first season, Paris references Belle Watling when Tristan is making out with somebody against her lover. In season two, Lorelai says, "I won't think about it tonight. I'll think about it tomorrow at Tara." Season three, Rory says, "Mom," and Lorelai says, "Is that you, Rhett?" Season five, Emily says, "You have a gentleman friend of significance," and Lorelai says, "Rhett is my gentleman friend, yes." And then season six, episode five, Suki says, "I saw my whole life pass before my eyes. That's how traumatic it was." And Michelle says, "She's been Scarlett O'Hara for 2 hours. It's sickening."
What is your history with this movie or the book? Either one.
I watched the movie for my blog.
That's it.
However many years ago that was. It was long and I forgot most of it. There's very little I remember to the movie, except for the very end when Rhett leaves and she's walking out. And I thought, I think this is the end. And that was it. That was the only memory I had to the movie.
I think I watched it in a class one time. But I think we watched like half of it.
Oh, yeah. There's no way.
It but would be I do like... remember seeing the... I thought I also saw the ending part. But I feel like in different TV shows, if I watched just a, like the best... A show about the best movies or whatever. If they had Gone with the Wind, they had that last scene in there.
Yeah.
So it might have been in just a TV show I was watching. But I remember... I don't remember what class it was. I don't even... I want to say I might have been in college, but I don't even remember.
Side note. My mom was an English teacher, and when I was in college, if I got out early, like, I always got out early. My mm-hmm. summer always started earlier than her students, and so I would, like, go to her class for a day, and she would always show a movie on that day. And what you don't realize when you're a kid is that the teacher has to sit through the same section of a movie repeatedly mm-hmm. for each class that came in. I didn't realize that. So I saw the same 30 minutes of The Lion King. Like seven times one day.
One time when I was subbing before I had a teaching job, I was subbing in a high school choir class. And I watched the first hour of Phantom of the Opera six times.
It's, wow.
But I enjoyed it.
I didn't, it just never occurs to you when you're a kid. But that's what your teacher is sitting through. It occurs to you that, like, okay, tomorrow we're going to see the next part. But, like, it never occurs to you that your teacher is just sitting there watching the same part of the movie.
But it gives them a break. I mean, teachers don't mind it.
It's true. There's a reason my mom did that on the days that her daughter came to visit.
So let's get started. It starts in 1961. Nope. It starts in 1861.
I was like, what?
The Civil War.
I don't know history, remember
during JFK's presidency in 1961.
I know I'm bad with history, but I did catch that one. I feel like you were trying to like trick me.
If I had said this movie takes place during the Civil War, would you have gotten the years correct?
No.
Would you have then been like, oh, early 1860s?
No, I would have said probably the 1800s. Because America started in 1776.
Would you have thought Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Okay. He became president in 1860.
I associate him with the Civil War.
Or he was, I don't remember exactly how, when they were elected. I know it was the 1860 election.
All I remember
Maybe 1861?
I don't know. I can't put years to Abraham Lincoln, but I can put the Civil War with Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
He was elected in 1860 and died in 1865. So there's that five, you know, it's in that 5 years.
Was that back when you could be president for more than, 4 years?
Yes.
Okay.
He
was president when he died. Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah, because FDR in the 1900s, he's the one who was president four terms. And he died during his fourth term.
Here's my question. Was it still 4 years per term?
Yes.
You could just have as many terms.
Yes, you could have as many terms.
I didn't know that.
That wasn't a part of it. They didn't have a limit on terms. And then after FDR, that's when they decided, hey, we should have two terms.
Yes.
Just like in a meeting. In a meeting, they were like, hey, this we shouldn't do this. This is boom.
And one guy was sitting there going, this could have been an email.
As this could have been an email. Yes. So, in 1861, on the eve of American Civil War, Scarlett O'Hara lives at Terra, her family's cotton plantation in Georgia, with her parents, two sisters, and their many slaves. Scarlett is deeply attracted to Ashley Wilkes and learns he is to be married to his cousin, Melanie Hamilton.
Man, they just sped right through that one.
Through the relationship.
I mean, because like, you knew that they were going to get married because her dad told her ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But man, her being his cousin, that just
I don't even think I noticed.
I heard it. I heard them say it, and I thought, odd. Not necessarily for that time period, but also, why did it need to be added to the movie? Because by the time the movie was made, it would have been odd to marry your cousin. So, like, was there really a reason? It was a very short, quick line of like, they're perfect for each other because their bloodline is the same, or something like that. It was something really odd. And I was like,
yeah.
I feel like that is something that could have saved us 30 seconds of this movie.
Probably. So,
cut 30 then seconds right there. Cousins had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. And Melanie Hamilton was played by Olivia de Havilland. Which brings us not to today's segment. Oh, look at that.
Olivia de Havilland always makes me think of Gilmore Girls, though, because there's a scene when Emily's dresser comes in. She has like a wardrobe woman who comes in, and she always name drops. And someone said, "Oh, I thought you had retired by now." She goes, "Oh, I couldn't. Olivia de Havilland wouldn't hear of it." And that's the only thing I think of when I hear the name Olivia de Havilland.
I think of Errol Flynn because she was in two the movies. The pirate guy.
Again. Gilmore Girls.
Okay. I was like, what?
Emily tells Richard that, no, Richard says she had a thing for the pirate guy. And she said, I did not have a thing for the pirate guy. And then someone said Errol Flynn, and she said something about Errol Flynn. So okay. When I hear the name Errol Flynn, I also think Gilmore Girls, the pirate guy.
He played a pirate in a few movies. I think of him as Robin Hood. And Olivia de Havilland played Maid Marian, like 2 years before this movie was made.
Olivia de Havilland wouldn't hear of it.
Errol Flynn died in the 50s, I believe.
I didn't think of the pirate guy. That's what happens in my
life. His last name. Do you know what Disney character was named after Errol Flynn?
Flynn Rider.
Yes. Yes.
He's a pirate guy.
He's a pirate
boots on.
Yes. So whenever I think of her, and Joan Fontaine, she's the one I believe that is Joan Fontaine's sister, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. It could be, and they did not get along. We've discussed that on this podcast before, I believe.
I don't really always listen to
us as we talk.
Sometimes it's just words are coming out and I'm interacting with you, but I have no idea what's going on.
I can tell.
I mean, that's fair.
At an engagement party the next day at Ashley's home, 12 Oaks, Scarlett makes an advance on Ashley but is rebuffed. However, she catches the attention of another guest, Rhett Butler, which does bring us to today's segment, the 10th. Are you done?
Yes.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. The 10th most popular segment in podcast history. I almost said in Gene Kelly history. Man, it's late. Okay.
It's late. This is a long movie.
Yeah.
We just introduced Rhett.
But he doesn't show up for a while. I kept thinking, where is he? Maybe I slept through that. Did I fall asleep in this movie?
I feel like a while is relative in this movie.
30, 40 minutes. I don't feel like he shows up to like 30 minutes in.
I don't know. It's after she's supposed to take a nap and she doesn't want to take a nap.
Which, why don't you want to take a nap?
I mean, especially as like a young adult, like, take a nap.
Yeah.
I didn't start napping until I was a young adult.
I did in college. Well, I did in high school. I took naps all the time in high school.
I never took naps.
5 degrees or less of Gene Kelly. Rhett Butler was played by Clark Gable. What all do you know about Clark Gable?
Very little.
Okay.
I know the name.
All right. He was married at one point to Carol Lombard.
Is he one of the old movie stars who was gay?
No.
He was like secretly gay?
No. Okay. I don't think so. He was married to Carol Lombard, who died in a plane crash. I think they were still married at the time. But anyways, he also has one song. I almost started off with a song because there really isn't there's music like there is in most movies, but there's not like a musical.
Haunting theme.
Yeah. But in one movie, he sings Putting on the Ritz.
Does he really?
Yeah. And it's a fun scene. I don't remember.
Does he sing, or is it just kind of...
It's fine.
It's like Audrey Hepburn singing Moon River, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he is actually singing it. But it's a fun scene. I almost did Putting on the Ritz, but then I thought, I wonder if we're doing Young Frankenstein.
I have no idea.
If we're doing Young Frankenstein,
I feel like we should be, because I feel like
I would want to save Putting on the Ritz for that.
Yes, she makes a reference to wanting to get a Mel Brooks tattoo, and she mentions Young Frankenstein.
Right. So Clark Gable was in a movie called Boomtown with Spencer Tracy. Spencer Tracy was in Inherit the Wind with Gene Kelly, which I think I've used that one before.
I mean,
But I decided to do it anyways.
Whenever I hear the name of Spencer Tracy, I always think he's not real because I picture Dick Tracy.
They're not the same.
I know. They're combined in my head. Spencer Tracy is a fictional character because Dick Tracy is a fictional character. What? I don't know.
Did you ever watch the movie Dick Tracy?
I'm sure I did.
I watched it in theaters.
I vaguely remember it when I was a kid.
I remember as a kid watching it in theaters. A very old, not a very old, but an old Warren Beatty, which was an interesting person to play, Dick Tracy, and Madonna's in it.
Yeah.
I believe they were having an affair during that movie. But that's beside the point.
So weird.
Warren Beatty was having an affair with everybody.
I mean, yeah.
But that is beside the point. So that is Clark Gable to Gene Kelly. So the party is disrupted by news of President Lincoln's call for volunteers to fight the South, and the Southern men rush to enlist. Scarlett marries Melanie's younger brother Charles to arouse jealousy in Ashley before he leaves to fight. That's a horrible reason to marry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
to arouse jealousy. Following Charles's death while serving in the Confederate State Army, Scarlett's mother sends her to the Hamilton home in Atlanta. She creates a scene by attending a charity bazaar in mourning attire and waltzing with Rhett, now a blockade runner for the Confederacy. There was a lot of death in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
That didn't even include dying in battle.
No.
Like a movie about the Civil War, I'd expect there to be a lot of death involved.
I mean, really, there was only one significant, like, character death in the battle, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people died after that, after the fact. With the defeat of the Confederacy, the O'Hara's toil in the cotton fields, Ashley returns but finds he is of little help to Tara. When Scarlett begs him to run away with her, he confesses his desire for her and kisses her passionately but says he cannot leave Melanie. Scarlett's father attempts to chase away a carpetbagger from his land but is thrown from his horse and killed. Unable to...
So weird. Some of the deaths were weird.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a weird one.
The daughter.
Like, where did that come from? Yeah, the daughter, that was a weird one. Like, awful, tragic, but like, yeah. Also weird.
Unable to pay the Reconstructionist taxes imposed on Tara, Scarlett unsuccessfully appeals to Rhett, then dupes her younger sister, Suellen's fiance?
Suellen.
Okay, I remember Suellen, but when you look at it, it just looks like Suellen. Suellen, and S is the only thing that's capitalized. Suellen, I would think the E would also be capitalized.
Or there'd be two E's.
S-U-E space E-L. Yeah. But it's just one word, S-U-E-L-L-E-N.
But instead of using context clues, you called her Suellen.
Well, she's swell.
Not really, she's kind of a brat. So's oh my god, I just blanked on her name. So Scarlett.
Yeah.
She's a brat.
The Dupshire and her sister Suellen's fiance, the middle-aged and wealthy general store owner Frank Kennedy, into marrying her. Frank, Ashley Redd, and several other accomplices make a night raid on a shanty town after Scarlett is attacked while driving through it alone,
resulting
in Frank's death.
I just had a total, like, I was listening to you talk, and I thought, okay, so we're on the second husband. And
she went through husbands quickly.
But I felt like there was a decent chunk of time between the first one and the second one.
Oh, I didn't. I remember thinking.
I felt like it, but I think it was just because of the timing of us watching it.
Maybe.
Like, I remember the thinking, second husband was the
first one
second
just died.
Night that we watched it. Or halfway through the second night that we watched it.
This movie is too freaking long.
It is too long. Anyway, he died.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Scarlett is now up to... Two husbands. And one father. And mother.
Mm-hmm.
That have died.
And I gotta be honest, as more husbands' bodies pile up, Scarlett is looking kind of guilty to me.
Listen, here's the thing, though. I would anticipate that in that time period, That was not that rare. Especially if your first husband was in the Civil War and fought for the South. Like, decent chance that there were a lot of widows after the Civil War.
Yeah, but she went through as this really.
And then this next one she married, he was older than her.
And she killed him off.
And he didn't live that long.
She killed him off.
Did not kill him off.
Starting the conspiracy of her killing all of her husbands.
Oh, Scarlett.
Yeah. So shortly after Frank's death, do not worry, because Brett proposes, and she accepts.
In, like, a really dramatic, bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she slap him during his proposal?
It was so intense. Also, just Rhett's character is very problematic.
Listen.
Yes.
We have been through a pandemic in our generation, and I feel like it has changed a lot of us in terms of, like, not wanting to create drama. Like, I feel like the adults that went through the pandemic, and particularly the ones that had small children, like things to just be very chill. We don't want to make waves. Scarlett went through the Civil War and then was like, let's keep the drama. Keep it up. Let's keep going. Make everything super intense and dramatic. Why? Why do that to yourself? She should have just gone to Tara, threw her cotton, and just moved on with
her. Rhett kissed her numerously without consent.
That's true.
And said that she needed to be kissed.
I think that if we're going to talk about Brett being problematic, we're just going to have to accept that every man in a movie about the 1860s is problematic.
That's true.
Including the women. Like, the women are also problematic, too.
Everything also, about that. I mean, also the slavery and everything.
Right, involved. Yeah.
Rhett and Scarlett have a daughter whom Rhett names Bonnie Blue, but Scarlett still pines for Ashley and, chagrined at the perceived ruin of her figure, refuses to have any more children or share a bed with
Which,
Rhett.
By the way, let's talk about the ruined figure. Her waist was a couple of, was it even inches? I think it was, yeah, it was inches. Her waist went from 18 and a half to 20 inches after creating a human being, and she lost it. She still looked the same, though. Like, and she still had a full-blown corset.
Yeah.
Keeping that tummy in. I would love to only gain an inch in my waist.
One day at Frank's mill, Ashley's sister, India, sees Scarlett and Ashley embracing, harboring an intense dislike of Scarlett. India eagerly spreads rumors. Later that evening, Rhett, having heard the rumors, forces Scarlett to attend a birthday party for Ashley. Melanie, however, stands by Scarlett. After returning home, Scarlett finds Rhett downstairs drunk, and they argue about Ashley. Rhett kisses Scarlett against her will, stating his intent to have sex with her that night, and carries the struggling Scarlett to the bedroom.
Is that the scene where he, like, holds her head and says he could crack it like a walnut?
I don't remember if that's the scene.
I can't remember.
But I remember this scene is he goes up the steps while carrying her, and she's fighting against him.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was not a good relationship.
Nope. The next day, Rhett apologizes for his behavior and offers Scarlett a divorce, which she rejects, saying it would be a disgrace. When Rhett returns from an extended trip to London, Scarlett informs him that she's pregnant, but an argument ensues, resulting in her falling down a flight of stairs and suffering a miscarriage. While recovering...
Because he says, maybe you'll get lucky and have an accident.
And then she falls down
the stairs the minute after he said that.
While recovering, tragedy strikes again when Bonnie dies while attempting to jump a fence with her pony. I don't know why I said that so excitedly. Bonnie dies!
That was so weird, though, because even if she fell off that horse from that angle, or from that height, they had her body, like, all at, like, wonky angles. That wouldn't have happened.
Did not look like that would have killed her.
Kids are, like, rubber. Like,
as long as you don't react. They're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say, it's okay, stand back up.
But that kid freaking died from falling, like, instantly died after falling off a horse. I can't. I can see a kid dying from a fall off a horse back then because, like, they got a cut that got infected and they didn't have the medication to treat them. I can't see a kid instantly dying from, and the horse didn't, like, trample her. She just fell off of it.
I mean, they had to figure out, it was a movie death. Sorry that you expected more from a 1939 death on film.
Not just a death, a child's
death. A child's death, yes. The CGI really wasn't up to snuff back then. Scarlet and Red visit Melanie, who suffered complications from new pregnancy, on her deathbed.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Bonnie dies.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie comes to see them after Bonnie died because Rhett has, like, lost his mind and won't leave her body. When Melanie comes out of the room from seeing Rhett, she, like, passes out, and then the next scene, she's on her deathbed.
She's on her deathbed.
Was that the same day? Did Rhett, like, come out of the room with his child's dead body to go over to Melanie's deathbed? Like, did that all happen all at once?
No idea. Weird. No idea.
Yeah, those two deaths happened, like, boom, boom.
Yeah, really, like, quickly.
Bonnie off a horse, and then suddenly Melanie's in her deathbed.
Scarlet pleads with Rhett to... I'm sorry.
Hold on.
As Scarlet consoles Ashley...
There is a show that makes a reference about deathbeds and says, why would you ever buy a deathbed? I can't remember. Is it Michael? Is it Michael Scott?
No idea.
Someone says, like, I never got deathbeds. Why would you buy one? Oh, man.
That sounds like Michael Scott.
It does sound like a Michael Scott thing. I don't have to look it up.
As Scarlet consoles Ashley, Rhett prepares to leave Atlanta, having realized that it was Rhett and not Ashley that she truly loved all along. Scarlet pleads with Rhett to stay, but he rebuffs her and walks away into the morning fog. A distraught Scarlet resolves to return home to Tara, vowing to one day win Rhett back. And that's it. And there's really no ending. A movie that lasts like 3 hours and 40 minutes doesn't have an ending that is a good way to end.
Michael Scott, I was right.
Good. So that was Gone with the Wind.
Gosh. If they could have
done that short movie. As we did, they could have done that movie in 2.5 hours. I feel like
we did skip quite a lot.
I don't care.
I mean, she shot that Yankee soldier at one point. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, it's because I told her I was going to find the shortest synopsis and get through it. Because if I did, like, the IMDb synopsis was probably 3 times that long. And I said, I'm not going to do that.
Scarlet is, like, a really unlikable heroine.
Everybody in the movie is unlikable.
True. Well, no, Melly isn't.
That's true.
But Scarlet, like, as the face, as the main character of this movie, is, like, really unlikable. You don't really want to see her win.
That's why, like, she and Rhett are the two main people, and they're both unlikable.
Yeah, he's a little better, but, like, not by much.
Not really.
I don't know. Maybe I just really don't like her.
I think she's a little bit better than he is.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't like any of them.
He commits marital rape and...
True.
And
which was not illegal.
Yeah.
Up until, like, what? 20 years ago?
Yeah. So, I would say he's worse.
Yeah.
But they're both pretty
awful. They're just all unlikable. Except for Melly.
My problem with this
is... Even Bonnie. She was annoying.
This movie is loved by so many people.
Is it?
And I have friends who love this movie.
You have friends who love this movie?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
I do.
You're lying.
I do. But I just can't like a movie or even come close to even respecting a movie that romanticizes the South during the Civil War.
Man, they did a big, long intro, though.
They did.
And
I know it's of the time and whatever, but the romanticism that it takes about the South and the Civil War, I can't get on board with that.
No.
So, like, I can't like or I don't care about the time. I can't respect a movie that does that.
Yeah, no, it was hard. It was hard to watch. Because there's a lot of movies that do, like, that have slaves in them, like, from that time period or from past that time period. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit better. Like, it's so uncomfortable because you're like, it's not like they're really friends, but they're acting like they're friends for the movie. Scarlett treated her slaves horribly.
Mm-hmm.
She was so mean to them. She slapped that one. I can't even remember her name. But she slapped that one.
Yeah.
Like, she did a lot of really awful things to her slaves. This was, like... straight, this is what slavery is like. Like, you watch some of the ones that kind of, like, I don't want to say that they, like, romanticize slavery, but they make it look like...
This movie does.
No, but I don't think it did because it showed the truth of, like, these were their slaves. That, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be friends with you. I'm not going to, like, have a nice little moment with this black
person. But I think it romanticizes that.
Yeah.
Not like we're best buddies. But just, like, it's okay because we want to, and, like, it puts you in the side of the South, wanting the South to maybe win or to do what.
That part was weird for me when they kept talking about how awful the Yankees were. I was like, but they, like, didn't they want people to not be slaves? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that kind of their thing? I don't know. I grew up in Pennsylvania. The North was always the good one.
Not with the kind of the wind.
The North was always the good guy.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Louisiana, I was called a Yankee so much. And I was like going through so much culture shock and I'd like exploded one day on my sister and I was like, I don't know why they can call me a Yankee. They're the good ones. And I like lost my mind because I was so angry. So I don't understand why Southerners call people Yankees because they won.
That's just weird because I've never heard anybody call anybody a Yankee in my whole life.
People in Oklahoma don't do it. And if you went to somewhere where they did, they wouldn't call you a Yankee. Mm-hmm. Because you're just Southern enough.
I've never, like, that, I always understood people from the North being called Yankees. Like, that was a thing. But I thought it was way in the past growing up because I never heard that.
I mean, at least 15 years ago when I lived in Louisiana. Was that 15 years ago? How old am I? Yeah, 15 years ago. I didn't think it was a thing until I got there. Leanne told me people would call me Yankee, and I was like, no, they did. Like, I opened my mouth, and they were like, are you a Yankee? Yeah.
That's weird.
Like, legitimately happened.
Louisiana doesn't know how to pronounce their cities, but neither does Oklahoma.
Louisiana is, yeah, for
real. I guess I have no room to talk.
No, Louisiana is like its own country, though. Yeah. I'm realizing now, the farther I'm away from it, that it's not just moving to the South. Moving to Louisiana is totally separate than like moving to like Tennessee or Texas, or like Louisiana is its own little world, which is sometimes great.
Because of French Cajun. Whatever.
My mom would get mad at me because I would complain that streets weren't pronounced correctly because I took French.
So I complained about that.
I know, but I complained to my mom about it after I moved there, and she was like, but it's not French, it's French Cajun. Like, it's a different dialect.
That's dumb. I mean, Bossier City? Yeah, get the F out of here. Bossier City? Yeah.
That's Bossier.
Gosh. Dumb names.
Just makes me think of Nestle Toulouse.
Well, let's have some background information.
Oh, man.
The fact that Hattie McDaniel, who won an Oscar, who was played Mammy.
Oh, I hate this. Okay. I know what you're saying because they said it in the intro.
You don't know what I'm going to say because I'm not going to say that.
Okay, that's fine.
The fact that Hattie McDaniel would be unable to attend the premiere in racially segregated Atlanta outraged Clark Gable so much that he threatened to boycott the premiere unless she could attend. He later relented when she convinced him to go. Also, the thing that they said, and I didn't write down because it's well known, like everybody knows that story.
I didn't know it.
Is that she won the Oscar, but she wasn't allowed to sit in the main area where everyone else sat, where all the white celebrities sat. She sat like off to the side, like way away from the stage. And I wasn't going to mention that because that is something that is well known about this movie.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Muffin's telling us to hurry.
Muffin's really upset.
No, it's not Muffin. That's Trixie. Oh, sorry.
Trixie's really upset. I don't know. When Gary Cooper turned down the role of Rhett Butler, he was passionately against it. He's quoted as saying, Gone with the Wind is going to be the biggest flop in Hollywood history, and I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. Vivian Leigh later stated that she hated kissing Clark Gable because of his bad breath, rumored to be caused by his false teeth, a result of excessive smoking.
His teeth did look false.
According to Frank Buckingham, a technician who observed the film being made, Gable would sometimes eat garlic before his kissing scenes with Vivian Leigh. Max Steiner was the composer. He was given 3 months to compose the music, considering that 1939 was the busiest year of his career. In that year, he wrote the music for 12 films. In order to meet the deadline, he sometimes worked for 20 straight hours and took pills to stay awake. With almost 3 hours of music, Gone with the Wind had the longest film score ever composed up to that time. Very few of the principal cast members liked the characters they were portraying.
Does nobody like them?
Clark Gable was induced into accepting his role through arrangements to divorce his current wife and marry Carol Lombard. So, yeah. Rand Brooks, who played Scarlett's first husband, was actually a rough outdoorsman who objected to playing a wimpy character. Butterfly McQueen disliked the negative stereotype of her character. Leslie Howard felt he was too old for the role of Ashley Wilkes and complained that his costumes made him look like a fairy doorman at a hotel. Wow. Which sounds like a very homophobic statement. Wow. At 2 hours and 23 minutes, Vivian Leigh's performance in this movie is the longest to ever win an Academy Award. So the movie is 2 hours and, or no, 3 hours and 40 minutes, and her performance is 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Crazy.
Reportedly, one of the reasons stated by David Selznick as to why he fired the original director, George Cukor, as director, was because Cukor is gay and would be unable to properly direct the love scenes between Rhett and Scarlett. Hence, he was replaced by macho director Victor Fleming.
Oh my God.
Although he was dismissed from the production, Cukor continued to privately coach Vivian Leigh and Olivia de Havilland at their request on weekends.
Because
they liked his directing style a lot better.
There are so many problematic things about this movie. Like, more than just the movie itself. Yeah.
Vivian Leigh worked for 125 days and received about $25,000. Clark Gable worked for 71 days and received over $120,000. Mm. Which, that is a combination of male stars getting more, but also combined with he was a much bigger name at that time.
Yeah.
So it's really both of those, because he was still well known. I think she had been in like one movie.
Mm.
But it's also because stars get more, yep. but it's a combination of the two. I don't know if it would have been as drastic if she was better known or more well known. The first rough cut, this is how long the movie could have been. The first rough cut ran for 4.5 hours, 48 minutes longer than the final release.
No.
Yep.
There's no movie that needs to be that long.
Yeah. Judy Garland was the leading contender for the role of Scarlett's sister, Corrine, before her Andy Hardy series co-star Anne Rutherford was cast. But she was tied up with commitments to another film directed by Victor Fleming. And Fleming replaced George Cukor on this movie. And Fleming also replaced George Cukor on another movie from 1939, which was called Wizard of Oz.
Sad.
So, that's Gone with the Wind. There's so much background information, and I just did not.
I mean, yeah.
There was probably at least 100 more. I was like, I'm not going to get through all this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, who would have liked this movie?
Nobody. I don't know.
That's not true.
They're all in the north, though, so there's not even anybody that's going to look at it and like feel romantic about the Old South. They all live in, oh my gosh, I just blanked out on what state they live in. Connecticut.
Connecticut.
So they don't like any of that stuff.
I think Miss Patty would like it.
I can see Miss Patty liking it for the like glamour.
Yeah,
that's of, what I was like thinking. The stars in it. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yes, I won. Why? Thank you. How many cups of coffee out of 10 would you give this movie?
4.
Okay. 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I feel like it needs. I don't know. It is due a certain amount of respect for moving the genre forward.
I'll give it two cups of coffee.
Too.
Yeah, it's boring.
It is boring.
It romanticizes a dark group of people from a dark period of our time.
Yeah.
It being boring and just, I don't know, I've already talked about my thoughts on just us romanticizing movies that push genres forward, is that I think that's BS to an extent.
Okay.
But I just don't think it's that good of a movie. It's too long. If the same story had been told in like 2.5 hours or 2 hours, it would probably get boosted up to a 4 or a 5.
Yeah, I'll give it up.
It's just too long. No movie should be over 3 hours.
No.
And that goes to any like superhero movie that's made today.
Yeah, those
like, if you can't tell the story in a short amount of time, you're not a good storyteller. And you need to work on that.
That's fair.
But anyways, that is Gone with the Wind. I promise we like some classics. You like Citizen Kane.
I do like Citizen Kane. I feel like there are a lot of classics that I do like.
Like, I love classic Hollywood. Apparently, I'm just going through some bad ones.
It was too long.
I dozed off, or almost dozed off so many times.
Well, last night I was playing Banjo-Kazooie on the Switch during it.
So were you. So you weren't fully paying attention. But I want it to be better than it is, than I think it is. But yeah, so that's Gone with the Wind. The next movie is shorter. It is Lady and the Tramp.
Yay!
Which also has problematic elements, which we'll get into in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.